All right, we're continuing on our series in Psalm, or Summer Through Psalm. And this morning I want to read Psalm 103, 1 through 12. It's a joy. This is a psalm that if you're down, you should read it. If you're happy, you should read it. You should just read it all the time. So I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Psalm 103, the first 12 verses. I'm going to read from the NIV this morning, probably because that's how I memorized it as a kid. But Psalm 103, verse 1 reads, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Hallelujah and amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that illuminates the scripture for our understanding. Lord, we just come before you and ask that you prepare our hearts to receive, Lord. Whatever you want me to say, I say. Whatever you don't, and we'll be careful to give you the glory. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So one thing that is so grand about walking with the Lord for several decades. Well, one is you can say several decades and still not feel old. And is that you get to celebrate the Lord all the time and you learn how to celebrate all that he is doing. And then you get to look back over the years and decades and see him and see his fingerprints and see the way that he's walked through so much, all the things with you. And then you see how wonderful and special it is that you get to talk with him. And it should supercharge you. It has me, especially this week, thinking about Psalm 103 and getting pumped up for it because it's a celebratory psalm and just reflecting on his goodness and his faithfulness and some things that I've remembered this week that I haven't thought about in a long time that were good. And that's my prayer for us this morning is that This psalm will just supercharge your faith to encourage us, to lift us up, to make you want to clap and jump and shout. And sometimes I think when we do that, you feel like you have to be careful not to over-celebrate sometimes. Sometimes we're reserved in our celebration, well, at least perhaps at church. But celebrating the person of Christ to just get us out of our shoes, yet we know this, and yet we forget. We forget. We get so hyper-focused on whatever that we forget the person of Christ. I know I do. So the question that I started off with is, does the way that I worship God make him look appealing to others? Do I worship God like, yeah, he's, woo, Jesus? You're like, is your team like 0-12? What's your deal? No, I really love him. All right, woot. You know, like, does the way that I worship God make him look appealing to others? Does the way I praise him make the gospel sound and look like it's the most amazing thing that I have? Sometimes. You should see the way that I dance when I'm all by myself. Whew. You too must be good dancers. But this psalm is pure praise, and it's so wonderful. And I know I had mentioned this a few weeks ago. I am an awful singer, but I sure love to, whatever comes out, I don't know what you describe that, but I love that towards the Lord when you're not around. But most psalms, when we read through all 150 psalms, and it includes some kind of issue, it includes a disaster, a situation, a villain, sadness, there's back and forth. David says, oh, I'm the worst ever. No, I'm the greatest. I'm the worst. It's all the emotions. Some of the psalms is super hyper-focus on fear, anxiety, and worry. Some are prayers. Some are prayers that God would just destroy the enemies. I mean, whoa. I mean, in our Western culture, that's not civilized. But come on, when you're driving, you think of things to that person who cut you off. So don't pretend those psalms, especially in the 30 range, isn't for you. But this psalm, this is not even a prayer, really. I mean, we use it as a prayer. This psalm is pure praise. Pure praise. It's one of just a handful that's just letting it all out. Outside of Psalm 23, I believe this psalm is used for more songs that we sing than any other. I mean, who here, when you first started singing, Praise the Lord, my soul, my innermost being, you started singing that song from first grade? I won't sing it. I already told you I can't sing, but you did a little. That comes, and this is what David is writing. The assumption is David wrote this in his old age. Some people doubt it, but I think so. I think someone who's walked with the Lord and has gone through things that I don't think will all face the totality of what he's faced. This comes from someone who's later on about to go home with the Lord and is looking back and praising the Lord. And this is what the psalm is. This is also a prayer that Jewish people, even to this day, they pray every single day except for the evening leading into Shabbat to reflect the day in light of God. You had a bad day? Sing this psalm. Had a good day? Sing this psalm. Had a day in the middle? Sing this psalm. And it gives us really a key, I think, in approaching how we should handle life. David is laying out the key to life, and the key to life is praise. Was that a letdown? You were hoping for something more magical than that? But this is the key. It seems so simple and, again, almost a letdown, but the whole problem with us, because of our sin, is our heart has this problem of forgetting. That's why he says, forget not, meaning we forget. You don't tell your soul, forget not, if you forget. And it says it right there in verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's a double negative. And just quickly, Hebrew poetry, because this is written as a poem, it has a rhyme, but it doesn't. It has a rhythm, excuse me. It doesn't have a rhyme like we like, you know, a stanza where the ending goes back to the second. This one in Hebrew poetry, there's three. You want to know about Hebrew poetry? Let me tell you. There's three main ways in which Hebrew poetry is written. One is praise the Lord, verse 1. Praise the Lord, verse 2. And then at the very end, which I didn't read, it says praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, It's a cornerstone and then the cap and everything in the middle to praise. Or the poetry would say something, then say something opposite and say, which one are you going to choose? And then the third one is introduction, looking back at the history of what God has done and saying, what now? And then praise the Lord. So that's the format in which it is. That's why when we read it in English, and sometimes we know it's good, but we feel like we're missing it. And I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I know that I'm missing something. But this one is, he's making a statement. He's making the statement again. And then he says all of the good that God has done, and he makes that statement, praise the Lord. But in verse 2 is the key, forget not. Forget not. And who is David talking to? His soul. This is not God. He's not telling God not to forget. He's telling himself, do not forget. Forget not. And the key to praising and praising God is forget not or remembering what he has done. Think about it. As a believer in Christ, if there was one cure for all, once we came to Christ, that one cure for everything would be remembering. Simply remembering. All the stuff that we face here on earth can be handled if we could just forget not. It's so simple, and yet we forget. When it comes to a psalm like this, it stirs something in us. We know it. How do you praise the Lord? With your whole soul, is what he's saying. That's the question. That's hopefully what I'm asking and answering here this morning. How does our whole being praise the Lord? And again, I'm going to say this another 100 times. It's not to forget. The word remember in English or forget not falls short, I think. The word remember or not or forget not, depending on the translation, it's more than forgetting. It actually means cease to exist, cease to care, wither away. So David is telling his soul, stop withering away. And you wither away by forgetting. And this is more than counting your blessings. Thought of another song, count your blessings one by one. Who's still singing it in their head from, all right? But it's more than counting your blessings. I almost had a little card, index card on all the chairs, and I was going to have you write a list of 10 things that you're thankful for. And then I realized, well, what's the point? I mean, what, just 10? Okay, 100. And I was like, well, okay, now they need a big sheet of paper. Okay, well, who's actually going to do it? And then what's going to happen? So I said, okay, I'm going to practice. And I started writing out my list here on Thursday. I can't find where I put my list. So I thought either would you. So, there you go. But you see what I'm saying? It's more than a list. It's more than a list. I can tell you what my three things that I wrote down, because they're always my first three. I can't tell you number four. Well, I can now because I spent a lot of time. I can't tell you number eight. I've already forgotten them. And before you think I'm pathetic, well, I am, but before you think that, how did you forget how God blessed you yesterday? Do you forget that the reason you're breathing right now is because God said, go ahead, lungs, do it? I mean, it's that easy to forget the things that we just take for granted. And again, it's more than counting our blessings. We do need to remember. So what is this forgetting, and why is it so easy for us to forget? And if you look throughout the whole Bible, you see again and again and again, God reminding his people, a prophet reminding his people, someone reminding his people, remember, don't forget. And God's people forget, and they forget things. They just forget. And then you read, if you're like me, you read and you're like, that was so dumb. Didn't you just see what happened the other page? And then once you get over yourself, you think, okay, so do I. We just forget. We focus on the immediate good, the immediate bad. Or we focus on the future when we're not even there. Or we focus on the past and we can never go back. But anytime we forget, anytime you're afraid, you're forgetting. Anytime you don't have self-control and you do that thing again, you're forgetting. Anytime any of the fruit of the Spirit is not in you, you're forgetting. Anytime you're worried about other people's opinion, or you're people-pleasing, or you're a manipulator, or anytime you fly off the handle, anytime you sin, you simply are forgetting. You're really forgetting. You're placing whatever that situation is above what Christ has done for you. And perhaps even for those who are not people-pleasers, those who strong-willed and still people's opinion. That's why in Isaiah 51, verse 12 and 13, this is what God says. I am the one who comforts you. So why are you afraid of mere humans who wither like the grass and disappear? Just a side note, that word wither is the same word of forgetting. Isn't that interesting? Yet you have forgotten or withered your relationship, forgotten the Lord, your creator, the one who stretched out the sky like a canopy, laid the foundations of the earth. Will you remain in constant dread of human oppressors? Will you continue to fear the anger of your enemies? Where is their fury and anger now? It's gone. He said, that's what the Lord said. You're going to forget. Why have you forgotten? But we forget what King David is telling us is way more, again, than counting our blessings or just recalling to mind. Remembering is not just a mental thing. It's not just an emotional thing or a physical thing. It's really our central being. All of us, deep down inside, it's us responding to the Lord. It's battling against forgetting the Lord. Part of the sin condition is sin has caused our heart to battle. We know, as believers, we know we need the Lord. We want Him to be Lord and King of our lives. We want a Savior, yet we want to be in the driver's seat. Right? Don't you feel that way? Don't you ever say, yeah, but Lord? This fighting, and there's nothing more discouraging than to go back over a list of things you wrote down and said you would never do to find yourself doing it again. You've ever been there? There's nothing more discouraging than that. So this word of remembering means more than a thought, more than the emotion. It's telling our control, the system which controls us of our whole lives. It tells us exactly what the issue is. It tells us we're forgetting, and the response is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I know the Olympics are controversial. We were at camp, and whenever I got into Wi-Fi, lots of emails, text, all that stuff. I'll just tell you just one thing, at least when I read what had happened and all that stuff. The first thing I thought is I said, I am so sorry, God, that part of the world has forgotten you. My second thought is Natalie and I are moving to France. Quite literally. I was like, all right, Lord, should we go and be missionary? That's quite literally what ran through my head. That they need God. They forgot. That was my response. And then, no, this is not my announcement. We're going to go be missionaries. But maybe one of you. You know, when we see this darkness in the world, yes, it should grieve us, but what we really need is thinking they need Christ so bad. So bad. And I had been praying for that, and I'm a doer, and go save the world, learn French, go learn another language. Leah comes up here and probably can speak all kinds of languages. I'm jealous, but. And then, you know what I saw that Natalie showed me this morning? The people of Fiji has 36 athletes, most of which are on the rugby team. Every morning, the entire team got up and worshiped the Lord. Every morning. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. And then, you know, mainstream media will never talk about this. They don't care about that. So what? There are athletes coming to know Christ at the Olympics because they're worshiping the Lord. And then, I don't know anything about rugby. It looks pretty cool. Not quite hockey level, but that's cool. I would never say that to a rugby player. They lose the gold medal, apparently, for the first time in their history ever. You know what they did the next morning? They got up and they worshiped the Lord. There's light. Why? Because they didn't forget. They told their soul. Can you imagine that? Oh, wait, we are in a dark place. Modesto isn't this great place. The world isn't this great place. We need to be on our knees praying and asking the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Don't let my soul forget what it was like before I knew you. Praise the Lord for Jerry Fishback, who shared Christ with me in a way that I understood. Do you know who led you to the Lord? And what does he ask of us? He wants us to praise him. You know, praising the Lord is the greatest sacrifice we can ever give to him. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. See that? Through Jesus, a continual sacrifice. That's why in Romans it talks about being a living sacrifice. Oxymoron, right? A living death. Well, that's what we're called to do. To proclaim our allegiance to his name. And don't forget, same word there, except it's in Greek. Of forgetting, of withering away. And don't wither away to do good. How easy is it to wither away? I had mentioned some of the books that I used to really focus in on Psalm for a long time, for many years now, and Keller and Stott, I think, are the best at it. And they point out that we are so fickle, both of them do in their own way, so fickle as people that we forget all that God has done. Yet, on the other hand, we can easily, so easily recall what our third grade teacher said about our science project. Was I too personal? No? Okay. You bought this volcano, Jackson. Well, so? I mean, you want it to work or what? But I remember what she said. This is not very good. Oh, but I painted it. Or that time your mom or dad said something to you that was mean, that mean thing. You remember that thing they said? How quickly we can recall it. I know some of you just have dealt with it properly. Some of you, like me, probably, I can't, you know. There's a certain odor that I smell that reminds me of losing and having a coach saying, you're supposed to be the goalie, right? Stop the puck. I can't, you know. Like, I remember that. Why do I remember that? I can go on. I got a long list. Sometimes that list is longer, sadly. But at the same time, someone can say 150 kind things to you, but a semi-harsh word or rebuke, and bam, square one. They have to say 150 things in order. So it's not that we aren't able to remember. Oh, we can remember things. But sin, it dislocates our heart. That's what John Stott says. Dislocates our heart. Our memory is all rewired. The things that should keep us at peace and confidence in him and hope quickly move away to doom, destruction. And he just goes on and lists. He's very English. Yet the bad stuff, we just remember in 3D surround sound. And yet, we don't even have a VHS tape of God sometimes. If you don't know what that is, I'm sorry. But a close friend can say something hurtful, and we can even recall it. Where we were, what we were wearing, that sound, it's so clear. And see, that's more of remembering with your mind, with some hurt. It's recalling that sadness that you haven't dealt with or given over to the Lord. Yet what David is saying here is he is recalling with his whole being. That means, I imagine, he's getting up when he's saying this. He's jumping up and down and cheering and clapping, because sometimes our souls are like little kids who do not want to get up on the first day of school. He's saying, come on, soul, get up. Let's go. What's wrong with you? See, this is not a prayer to God. This is just a statement of saying, come on, me. Let's not just remember the bad stuff. Let's reflect on all that God has done. Let's be praising the Lord. Come on, get up, get up, get up. Keller said about this is, what you remember and what is central to your thinking sets the course of your whole being. If your mind is centered on the mercies you receive, then you will be full of joy. If your mind is centered on all the injustices you've faced, you will be full of resentment. What do you remember? And again, it's not just bad things, but it's also good things. But sometimes we remember the gift over the gift giver. That's why in Deuteronomy, actually, most of Deuteronomy is just God saying, it's the way that I look at Deuteronomy is Moses' journal or log of everything that he already talked about in Exodus. But he gets right to the heart. But throughout Deuteronomy, over and over and over again, it's talking about forgetting, forgetting, forgetting. So Deuteronomy 8, 12, and 13. I think I have to read it up here. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I have given you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and your gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. This is what he's saying. When I bring you over, God's saying, when I bring you over to what I have promised you and things are going well, you're going to forget and you're going to get proud. So it's not just forgetting, it's remembering the wrong stuff. And this is what David is trying to realign his soul. David is talking to himself and pumping himself up. It's more than believing. It's more of a workout program for your whole being. It's more than praying, and it's more than worshiping and reading, more than reflection, more than journaling. It's experiencing his love again and again. And sometimes we need reminders. Do you have someone in your life that reminds you? When Natalie and I were in Kansas City, Missouri, we had a wonderful admin secretary, Miss Linda, in my office as the, whatever I was there, youth and young adult pastor. I would hear all of the conversations that she would have, not on purpose, but the walls were thin. And people came to her and talked to her and complained to her because she was there for 40 years. So she could remember the old things, the new things. And people would complain to her, and she would listen, and she would say, And before they would leave, she would say, okay, now tell me two praises the Lord has done. Tell me two praises the Lord has done. And I remember very clearly Mr. Jackson, not me or anyone related to me, he said, well, a lot of things, and he was about to leave. This lady got up and blocked the door and said, no, Mr. Jackson, tell me two praises. I was like, oh, she's going to throw down. She's going to get them. And she could, too. And he said, this is ridiculous. He said, the fact that you can't remember anything is ridiculous. I mean, she was laying it down. I was thinking, I should leave. I should help. I should. And he did. And then one turned into two, turned into three. His whole thing about complaining that the piano was moved like 6 inches, that's a legit concern. Well, think about the things that we complain about. It's pretty ridiculous too, right? You know? Just stopped. He really wasn't upset about the piano. His soul forgot to praise. So what's one or two things the Lord has done? And here's just a test just to see if my radar is up in my praising, okay? If I miss a day of praying or reading scripture or praising to God, do I notice? Do I notice it? If you miss your Bible study with your friends, you miss Sunday service, do you notice it? Do you feel it? I would suggest it doesn't take long for you to forget about it. And I'm not talking about guilt. I've talked about guilt. Guilt was dealt with on the cross, but the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit, he prompts you, he convicts you. Conviction is way better than guilt. Guilt is, oh, I'm so ashamed, I can't come to the Lord. Conviction is, I better run to Dad. So what does it mean when he says, come on, old soul, bless the Lord, that we would bless God? And no, we're not helping him out. God doesn't need anything from us. We're coming here. We're honoring and glorifying, lifting him up, expressing our gratitude, praising his holy name. So I'm just going to walk through 2 through 11 and just talk about some ways quickly, for the sake of time, of just the way that I've really hyper-focused this week on trying to get my stubborn soul to get up and praise the Lord. So verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits. Wow, what benefits do I have walking with the Lord? Benefits. Am I as excited for my benefits with the Lord as I am with my benefit, my medical benefits for my job? I mean, always look for a job with benefits, right? What is our benefits? This is just me talking out loud. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. This is just where my brain goes. So what is a benefit, Lord? Oh, thank you for answering that question in the next verse. Who forgives all your sins? You notice that when David is saying all your sins, he's still talking to himself. So he's talking to himself, like taking Dallas over here and say, look at here, Dallas. That's what he's doing. Look at here, soul. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So why sins and diseases? Sins, oh, there are many. Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. And he heals my diseases, and yes, physical diseases. But also, throughout the Old Testament, diseases is always pointed back to sin. So essentially, he's saying this, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your sins, so the sins that you've done to others. And yes, physical. Yes, I believe that God can heal us, and sometimes he uses doctors and surgeons and medicine. Sometimes he just touches us, and sometimes he just simply brings us home. And in verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. Oh, do you remember the pit? Before Christ, that thing that was missing that you didn't know? Or perhaps you grew up in a Christian home, praise the Lord for that, and maybe you have a harder time of saying, you know, when you said yes to Christ. I would say that there needs to be a time where you know that. But that pit, when you perhaps were still sinning, Kevin did a great job last week, thank you, Kevin, of pointing out you can come to church and still have this sin. He's talking about that pit, so that's self-examination. The Lord wants to redeem your life from that pit, from those sins, from those secret sins. And here's the beautiful part, and crowns you with love and compassion. Can you imagine that scene? That the Lord has a crown for you, and he's putting it on your head, and it's love and compassion. Think of the greatest reward or trophy that you ever received, or that you know someone's received. I was trying to think of that. I think one of the neatest awards I ever seen someone receive was my grandmother received an award because she worked at McDonnell Douglas for the satellite work she worked on from the president in the late 80s. And then from the Mr. McDouglas himself. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's somewhere, my brother probably stole it, but whatever. No. What an award. You watch that. I remember seeing pictures of that. But even greater than all the rewards we get here on heaven, the Lord crowns you with love and compassion. Do you walk around with your crown? And in verse 5, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's not just for us, it's he satisfies us. Do you feel satisfied with the Lord, in the Lord? And in verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Oh man, sometimes I only look at the injustice done to me and whenever I feel oppressed, but he's doing this. He's telling, King David is telling, the Lord works righteousness. He makes things right and just for all the bad stuff that's ever happened. How can I possibly not forgive someone? He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And this is what he's passing on. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Makes me think, oh man, Lord, I want you to do some things. And aren't you angry? Don't you want to go fix those things? Where's the justice? Oh, I'm scared of justice, actually, because if I look at my own life, there are some things that have not been not good. So I'm so thankful that he is gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love. And he won't always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. This is what David is remembering that had happened to the Israelites, and he's applying it to his own life. Because if you remember David's life, it wasn't squeaky clean. Verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. That alone is worth praise. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. Remembering our history, this is what David is telling us to tell our souls. It's remember your history, but don't live in there. Don't live in the past, but use that to propel you. We always come to God in need, and the first and greatest need that we need from him is his mercy, and it could not be reached until sin was taken away through Christ's blood. And then what does he do with those iniquities? Soul, just in case you haven't remembered, verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Oh, I don't even know how far that is. I can't even comprehend that. So great is your love who fear him. Lord, I want to fear you. Come on, soul, let's fear the Lord. And in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Have you spent time outside to look from the west to the east? It's hard to comprehend. You know you can't see the west and the east at the same time. You can even cheat and use a camera. It's still not the same. You can't even comprehend. You can go to another hilltop. You're at camp. We watch the sunrise. We can't comprehend, and that's what he has done. He removed our transgressions. But yet we forget. So this week, just tell your soul, come on, soul. Let's praise the Lord. Let's remember all the good things that he's done. Go through this list. I have a lot more, but for the sake of time, just do that. I'll share one more, actually. From verse 9, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. You know, harbor is holding on to. What this really means is he will not harbor his anger means he's not pretending that he's not angry just to release it one day at you. I think we treat God that way. He's resolved that anger through Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that. Come on, soul, remember when you get angry? Look at how the Lord has done. And he won't accuse me. And again, verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. So just this week, just go through in your Bible or print it out or whatever you want to do, and just by each verse say, come on, soul, remember how compassionate he is. Here's the way he's compassionate and gracious. Come on, soul, we're not being accused. He's not waiting to aha and trick us one day. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Let us not treat people the way that we feel they deserve. Let's be like Christ. Because I'll just close with this. God is not worshiped where he is not adored and loved, and you don't proclaim what you don't prize. God is not worshiped where he is not adored and loved, and you don't proclaim what you don't prize. Just prize him, hold him. I will say, just finally, a concern is we could talk about this, I could talk about this, and you could shake your head, and you're like, yeah, amen, mm-hmm. But a concern is those of you that have experienced just enough of Jesus to be comfortable, but not enough of Jesus to be captivated by him. He is so holy, he is so great, he deserves so much. And sometimes we just got to kick our soul into gear and remember that. So take time this week. That's my challenge. Take time this week just to go through that. And just in the margins or somewhere, just write down. Get your soul in the gear. We're coming into the fall. The school year is going to start. We say that summer was busy. Then we'll say fall is busy. Then we'll say harvest is busy. I'm not a farmer. I never say that, but you know what I mean. Christmas is busy. Easter's busy. Graduation is busy. Summer's busy. We're busy. But let's when we wake up in the morning, let's say, come on, soul. Let's get it in the gear and praise the Lord. Can we do that? Let's do that. God, thank you so much that you're such a great and good and merciful God. And we just love you. Thank you for psalms like this that just is encouraging and uplifting and reminds us our place, Lord. And as Stott said, sin has caused our heart to be disjointed. If we worship the weird things, the wrong things. But Lord, as Psalm 103 says, we just want to praise you with our whole soul. All my innermost being, praise your holy name. And help us not forget your benefits. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for satisfying us. Thank you for being righteous and just. Thank you for being compassionate and gracious. Thank you for being slow to anger and abounding in love. Thank you that you don't harbor your anger forever. Thank you for not treating us as our sins deserve. Thank you that you crown us love and compassion. What a reward, Lord. And a reward that we haven't even earned. And thank you for your Son. So Lord, as we sing more songs to you, will you waken our soul? Will you help us not forget? We love you. We thank you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.